You know, a lot of things are taking place. Great and mighty things are taking place. And each time I talk about that, I'm always reminded of the vision where I saw those things that were taking place in heaven. So many great and mighty things were taking place in heaven, and I was in levitation, elevated way up into the heavenlies. And I was standing there in the heavenlies looking at these things. It was so beautiful. They were so fantastic. And in a technicolor, they were taking place. So beautiful they were. And when I saw the great multitude on the earth, I was trying to get their attention. Whereas truly that has been in my lifetime. The Bible speaks of Jesus saying that I do always the things I see my Father do. And down through the years, it's been my privilege to look into heaven and see all these great, wonderful things taking place in heaven. And truthfully, to the best of my ability, I've been trying to get the attention of the people for numbers of years. Truthfully, as it was in the vision when they didn't see these things, it has been so that they didn't see these things. But I was able to tell them of these things, and feel like that in their age that we're living in now, it's getting way on down the trail toward evening time, and that people ought to be by now seeing these things and entering into those realms. I remember so well when Brother Branham was under the anointing, and he said, "I wish my lovely audience could be in this dimension that I'm in and see these things that I'm seeing." So there are other dimensions outside of the dimension that you live in, and you can, by faith in God, enter into those dimensions, and you can see great things. People take dope, and because of that, they enter into different dimensions. They have strong delusions and hallucinations, and they see all kind of things because they enter into a different dimension. And truthfully, people enter into certain dimensions, and they see different kind of things. And we've entered into a dimension to where we've saw many great and mighty things. And it's like Jacob, as Jacob was on his way to seek his bride, he stopped by a place that he named Bethel after spending the night there. He saw a stairway, and the stairway went from earth to glory. And as he saw the stairway in the night, he saw angels ascending and descending on the stairway, which has great spiritual significance as to Jacob, as to Christ, as to Calvary, as to the church ages, and as to the angels descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus later said to a man that marveled because he told him his name when he walked up to him. And he said, "You know, you think this is something." He said, "From henceforth," he said, "you can see the angels descending, going to and fro upon the Son of Man." But it's a great time, you know, in which we're living. And you get into a great dimension. If you walk with the Lord, you move from dimension to dimension. As to these things that Jacob saw in the stairway, or as to Jesus and the church ages, it's all down through the church ages, even the church age messengers as angelic beings that came into the earth to bring forth the wonderful understanding of God. So you are human beings, and one side of you is spirit. The other side of you is the material of this world. You're made out of the dust. It's what scientists call the study of physics, or human physics. And since you're a physical being, then there's a study of chemistry. That in that you are a composition of chemicals. Then science has a study. Science, knowledge falsely so called, has a study of chemicals as to your chemical reaction. Whereas when your chemistry is out of order, you're out of order all over. But nevertheless, I'm just saying that there's a spiritual side of you and there's a natural side of you. There are natural physicians to advise you concerning your chemistry side of life. And as it was said to Jesus, physician, heal thyself. The true physicians as doctors of divinity are those that understand your spiritual being and your spiritual makeup. And as it was said of Jesus, the sick need a physician. So then whether you're naturally sick or spiritually sick, you know, you call for the physician. And when you call for the natural physician, sometimes you can get in trouble, as it was when Asa was smitten in the feet. And the Bible said because he sought the natural physicians rather than God, he died. So when you have a physical problem, the best thing to do is seek God first. And if you want to do anything for yourself, do it if you can. But remember, the cause of a situation is usually from the roots. Occasionally, you know, it's like a tree. A parasite will light on a limb and create an infection that you can do away with, cut off, or whatever. Maybe it's on an apple and you can cut the bruised place off and eat the apple. But in so many cases, it's from the root of the tree, or that is the heart of it, and it's rotten, and the apple will look good on the outside, but on the inside it will be rotten. There'll be worm in it. So it's better to seek the cause of the thing, back to the source. Well, anyway, a lot of good things are happening today. A lot of great things are happening today. A lot of wonderful things are happening today. Exciting things. And we that are people of the Spirit, we live in that Spirit world and we enjoy those Spirit things. And to you that are natural, of course, you live in a natural world and you see the natural things. And you have the love of the world in you, and you'd enjoy the natural things. And it excites you when you get money, because money is a god. Of course, the Bible said you can't serve mammon and serve God too. So when you get money, you get real excited, because money can buy all those natural things that you gullibly desire, that you want, that Satan savors, and that it be of the flesh. So you like good health, and you like to eat, and you like to drink, and you like to ride, and you like to buy, and you like to sell. And you love to have comforts, and you love to have convenience and all these things of life. You love passions, and you love the way of frolics as to sports and entertainment and whatever it might be. That's what you like, because that's what you are. That's your thoughts, as a person thinketh in their heart, so they are. They can sit in the front of television for hours because they just love those things of Hollywood and fiction and foolishness. And those are foolish thoughts. And of course, the Bible said the thoughts of foolishness or foolish thinking is sin. Because it's the satanic mind. It's the carnality that is enmity with God. And it cannot be subject or subjected to God as a creature. And it's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. And of course, you that observe those things soon pass away. Those thoughts were the thoughts that killed Eve and took her out of the garden. The day that thou thinkest thou off this way, then thou shalt die. And the carnal mind is death. But as the Bible said, to be carnally minded is death. But then when you get spiritual minded, and your conversation is in heaven, and your thoughts are on spiritual things and heavenly things, you're not interested in natural things, then God adds all of the natural things to you. Because all natural things emanated from God. So then when you are spiritual, then are you alive? For to be spiritual minded is life, because life is spirit, and spirit is life. My words are spirit and they are life. So spirit is life, but anything carnal is just something that goes back to the dust. People that are born to the dust, Adam, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. As to the tree, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. As to anything that's made of this world, from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. But as to him that is born of spirit, Jesus said, I came from heaven, I'm of the spirit, I go back to the spirit. So then there are people in this world that are spirit. They that are born of spirit are spirit. And they that are born of flesh, they are flesh. And they that are in the flesh have the lust of the eyes. They can't keep from lusting. Things entice them as to cars, as to body, as to prestige, as to money, pride. And they that have the mind of Christ, they do not have that problem because they are not of the flesh. So then their heart is in heaven. They have eyes of understanding where they're comprehending the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. And they are hungering and thirsting after those things that be of God. So there's a world of difference, and they are in a different world. They're in a different dimension. You're in one dimension, they're in another dimension. And that's what makes the difference. So then every day they go about enjoying those things that's in their dimension. Every day you go about enjoying the things in your dimension. And as time goes on, their thoughts will cause their human genetics to change. As you start like a little baby, you grow up and you develop thoughts and go through all these things, as we've said so many times. See, when you're born again, you're just a little baby. And your thoughts begin to come in as thoughts of Christ. And it begins to translate your spirit. And it begins to transform your mind. And the results of that is it will transfigure your image or your body. And when you start through this, it's from glory to glory, understanding to understanding, from tutoring to tutoring, from revelation to revelation, from light to light. And on the inside, you're gradually transformating in your mind like somebody that would translate from one dialect to another dialect. So after a while, you have the mind of Christ and you're thinking like Christ. That's like my little buddy Bubba up here behind Brother Pasden that keeps his eyes on me, right on me right now. And the other little boy with his hands under his chin there, the little girl. These little fellas come down to my house the other day. And they brought me some greens. And it was real enlightening as to God using little folks. And they'd been out in the garden. They got me some greens. Brother Eugene had raised me some greens. And he knew I really liked them. So they come with their little bags. And when they got down to where Mac had dug this ditch as pertaining to the coach, when they got there, the mud laying around everywhere, you know, the old red mud. Gene stopped. And they stepped right over that thing and they brought me my greens. I took them right on across the bridge over there and into Sister Betty. And she rewarded them with about $1 a piece and made a lot of fuss over the greens. And so we exchanged some greens for some greens. And they gave us some greens that we was happy over and they got some greens they were happy over. But they stood there and they talked with me for quite a while. And I found these little guys to be real Bible scholars. And so today I ate some of those greens. I thought, now that's great. Here they come, the children crossing over the Jordan with the first harvest. And they brought it right in and we really enjoyed them. So I thought that was something, you know, the reward as you get is the spirit of truth when you come to God. And of course you know who's on the dollar bill and what he stands for and what he represents. Nevertheless, each one got their reward. And of course we was talking the other night about Abe Lincoln. I don't know whether I mentioned it here or not. I mentioned so many things, so many people. But I was talking to some of the guys I know about the penny, talking about doing away with the penny, what it had to do with as to the eradication of the darkness and the great light coming in as to the change of the church, the revelation on Abe Lincoln, what he has to do with as to Jesus and what Washington has to do with as the Father, which is the Father of our country. That was a symbol of truth. Anyway, so many things. Found out these little guys, the Lord was using them. Little fellas, but still God was using them. And they were real Bible scholars. They got in there. The Jews come in with them and they got in there. And I mean, they just talked and talked and talked for a long time. They talked to me and they indoctrinated me real good. One would tell me one thing about the Bible and he would get through. The other would tell me something else about the Bible and another would tell me something about the Bible. And one of their big conversations was that a man come through here that had to do with the mark of the beast. And he was trying to get in down there and do this thing and they just wouldn't listen at him. So sure enough, when I checked up, I think somebody come through taking censors and they let me know they wasn't going to take the mark of the beast and he got put on his way. So, as the Bible said, out of the mouth of sucklings and babes, God hath perfected praise. They ain't having nothing to do with that mark of the beast. So I thought that was real phenomenal. These little bitty guys, they're so little and they're talking about the mark of the beast and all these things. And sit there and hear them quote scripture and it makes you wonder, you know, if you're keeping up with your studies. But anyway, it was a wonderful thing. So as I said, it was great things happening. And tonight I had hoped to talk to you a little bit about some spiritual things. I don't feel any real hunger tonight or feel a good spirit, feel you at rest. And you know that you're glad to be in church and you're enjoying the little talk and fellowship. And you know, you're happy and couldn't ask for nothing no better than that. But at the same time, he that hungers and thirsts shall be filled. And when we eat well, when we stay filled up, laughter and talk, conversation. It's like Brother Branham said one time, you know, he said it's cruel and it's unfair to God that we have an appetite for heavenly things and we're made for that sort, and yet we satisfy it with the natural things. As the Bible said, and the prodigal would fain have filled himself with the, or his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. But all of a sudden he came to his senses and he realized that in the Father's house was good things. So the things of the world, as good as they may seem to the natural man, they're nothing but the husk. Husk is what you grow the corn in. You know, you don't eat the husk, you give that to the beast. And all these things of the world, they are husk. They are natural things and they're vanity and they're only type. They're types and they're shadows. And within that type and shadow as to that veil is the revelation, the spiritual knowledge and light and understanding. And when you go after the husk, that means that you are the beast. And of course, the corn is taken out of the husk, as we used to do when I was a boy. Take it down and then we either grind it up for meal, you know, put it into the meal barrel, or we put it into the barns to where we can get to it when we get ready for it in case it's hard times or whatever. And this is what we're saying. So everybody's not of the same world. One is of the beast world and they hunger and thirst after the husk. And the other, they are of that great wonderful world as to when we say manhood typical, they're often they're after that grain. You know, because that's what they raised it for. It just had to pass through the husk. And like Jacob that got Leah when he wanted Rachel, you can't get an egg, as the laws of the land was then, that you can't take the younger before the elder. The laws of nature is that you can't take an egg unless you take the shell, because the egg is in the shell. And you don't get the peanut unless you grow the hull. And you don't get the corn unless you grow the husk. And you don't get the spiritual man unless you use that beastly veil that's called a tabernacle of that human body. But the goody is on the inside. That is to say, the man of God, the spiritual, the angelic form, it's on the inside. Life is on the inside. All of the good things that are eternally given freely unto you through Christ are on the inside. So the life is in the blood and the blood is in the body. And the spirit is within the blood as to the life that is inside. You don't see this unless you see it through eyes of understanding, is to comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length. And when you crack the shell, then you have the egg. And you can turn it into energy when it's prepared right. And when you have the hull cracked, you can get the peanuts, you can get the pecan, you can get the goody that's on the inside. Whenever you rend the veil, it's to look back at Calvary and see that the veil is now gone and now it's made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. And you can look beyond the veil, as it was with Brother Branham when he said, I looked beyond the veil and I saw the ladies in the long dresses. And he said this was in heaven. And what can you say? How many believe that we're in heaven? Let's give the Lord a hand. So then as I said to my wife, preaching and revealing that on this side we're in heaven, on the other side it had to do with an intellectual defining of quotes, scriptures. For in the beginning was the Word, and it was called the spoken Word. But as on the other side of Calvary, when the veil is rent in twain and Christ is revealed, he's no longer secretly hid, as the Bible said, God hideth himself in darkness, veileth himself in darkness. Jesus being made the image of darkness as to a typical thing, being made like to the bastard child or like to the serpent to be hanged upon the tree. likened unto sin, having known him after that image. As to the flesh, we don't know him anymore after that. Now the veil is rent in twain, and the true light now shineth since Calvary. So then on this side, it's not quotes as to the spoken word, but it is the revelation, or the revealed word, the revelation of Jesus Christ. How do you believe that? Let's give the Lord a better hand. All right. So as to the crossing over of the Jordan, which reminds me, it's just tonight that I'm standing here in the boots that was brought to my house today. I've been talking to my wife about the revelation of today and what it had to do with, and these boots that I got on, when the Lord dealt with me about them tonight, I haven't worn them more than about 10 years or more. I don't know that I've ever worn them again since the time that I found the cave where Brother Branham used to go to pray, where he had these visions and saw the man going around sowing the seed, and the man coming behind him is Satan sowing the tares, and all the things he saw there in that cave. The place where he also went to and prayed and asked for forgiveness when he told his wife to tell him he wasn't there when he stepped outside, and he felt like he had lied, and he went and begged forgiveness when the IRS was so much after him. But anyway, I got those boots on tonight. It just registered in my mind. I got those boots on tonight. And strange that they should come in today, because Brother Bradley just come back today from... I hope you don't mind me just talking with you. Brother Bradley just come back today from... I guess he came back in the morning or last night. I don't know. He said something about coming back Tuesday or Wednesday. When was it, brother? Ackworth, Georgia. So he's back in this area. But he just come back from visiting with Brother George Smith. George wanted us to come up and show him the cave. And I told him we couldn't come at this time, but we would send somebody. And sure enough, we sent Brother Bradley up. Brother Michael Bradley was one that was with us when we stood in the middle of the creek or the river and found the cave as the Lord showed it to us. And we've related that to you in the incident. And at that time, I had on these boots. And these boots had been given to me by Brother Bob Wells, which was very significant in the revelation as to the death of his little girl after having met us, and as to the angel appearing to us down in Miami, Florida. And at the time that we were acquainted with Bob, and he had these boots on down in Houston, there where the pillar of fire had appeared to Brother Branham, the one that where the picture was taken when Brother Branham was in dispute there, and George C. Lacey, as to an authority of Washington, had taken and examined the photo and declared that it was actually a supernatural visitation from God, that it wasn't just a light somewhere. And it was strange that all that should take place, that is today, that when Brother Mike came back, they had found the cave, and he had taken Brother George to it, and even as it was Brother George and Brother Mike had found it, it was Brother George and Brother Mike, as someone said, that was there again when they found it, as to Brother George Smith. And he's writing the documentary, as I told you that he was, and I was explaining to my wife today, in part, as to the great significance of the discovery of the cave, that in all these years they've never been able to find it. And even though Brother Smith said that someone had written him from Virginia and said that they had found the cave, he said, Brother Pike, the cave that he had found was on the left side of the road going up past the mill there, and George tried to receive that as the cave, which he never could get it to fit together. And he finally told Brother Bradley while he was up there, said, well, one thing I remember, said, this boy says that he had found the cave that Brother Branham resorted to, said, but, said, I remember when I was with Brother Branham and we went out to Green's Mill, he said, and we was riding along, said, Brother Branham did like this and said, George, the cave's back over here. Said, and of course that agrees with what Brother Pike has found as to the cave, according to what he said, and that it was on that side, and that it wasn't 150 or 200 yards or feet, whatever it was, away from the wheel. And of course, that agreed with what Brother Branham had said to beckon them, and then the pyramid rock on the inside agreed with it, and the little walk around up to the top agreed with it, and then standing on the top of it and could catch a man by the leg and agreed with it, and nobody being able to find the cave and standing around the top of it agreed with it, and being up there to where he could hear Billy Paul from a distance as to where Billy Paul was agreed with it. And the tree that was out in the front where Brother Branham would go sit agreed with it, and on and on and on and on, and having so many bushes that Brother Branham said he could pull the bush in after him agreed with it. And so many things agreed with it, and yet for many years they were not able to find it. But we were fortunate the Lord showed it to us as for his purpose. And then we detailed today to Sister Betty why that he had shown it to us, and why at this particular time that the report came back that at last they had found it. And that when it goes out in the documentary, it will go out that Brother George Smith has found it. So it will still have to do with the thing, as one would say, as to Vernon, Mount Vernon here, and the name, and as to Bush coming in after the flag going up, as to the name, and as to the thing that Sister Betty brought back from Israel as to the name of overthrowing the dragon, and Mr. Bush doing what he's doing now as to bring law and order against drugs and whatever, and as to his administration going right into the tribulation period as to calendar-wise. And as to the quotes as to when we found the cave, Moses came right along the top and they were there and they hollered down at us and they recognized us and called our name. And the next morning, of course, we was over in the meeting where they broke down the middle wall of partition as between the gymnasium and between the auditorium, because it had so many people. At the same time when the book was given to us, I believe by my Joseph, as we went back down to the coach from the cave, them never knowing anything about it. And they handed me the book. The book was handed to them of the dissipation as to Brother Taylor standing there in the light, the Sister Lambert, we should have taken the picture, and the image was gone, having to do with the translation of the church, and that it was the resurrection, the rapture, having to do with the cave, like the cave being rent in the top, our fellows climbing through the top. And Brother Branham had said that in a vision he saw, whereas to pertaining to the message, it was the Georgia boys that uncapped the cave. And sure enough, it came to pass as to that, and the dissipation as to the light. And sure enough, when the final or the great finale as to the pictures that were taken of the cave, which some of these relate back to Brother Ron Clyde, which were excellent pictures, the people that were us inside of the cave, when Brother Don finished with these pictures as to process them by whomsoever, then when they came back, they were nothing but ghostly figures, and you could see nobody but ghosts inside and outside of the cave. So it denoted a real resurrection there. But everything was really outstanding as to these things. As to say, on this side of the cave, as to Calvary's unto death, the quotes and the word that killeth, as to the law and as to the prophets. And of course, when Bucky wrote about the dissipation, he wrote, as a judge, as to the law, I heard the Lord say. Then it was on the following day that this day star, as the Bible said, when the day star dawns within your heart, this day star was given out over there at that meeting. For when we went back down to the coach, this dissipation was given unto them as to the resurrection, in that we just found the cave. And the translation as to the dissipation in the light. And then they handed me a book called My Son Joseph, The Art of Prophet. And as we went back following it the next morning as to that move, as to Moses and to Joshua, as to Jesus and the Christ, as to picking up the bones of Joseph and taking them out of Egypt, as to the prophetical utterance as to Christ and the life of Christ, and that Joseph was so much the life of Christ in the dungeon and whatever, as to the resurrection going out of Egypt, or that is to say the finishing of the days of the Gentiles that we see on us now. A lot of things we could say about that by revelation. But anyway, with this, just as we walked in, it was a phenomenal thing. Somebody called my attention to it, because I never noticed it when we walked in. But Betty and I walked in, and Billy Paul, standing right in the gap as to where the middle wall of partition was broke down, and he said, "We're now waiting for our brother Joseph." And of course, that was the last time, I suppose, that I wore these boots. I believe I had them on then. But anyway, it was from that time that the boots left and was gone for about X amount of years, and had been over at Brother Cartridge's and his wife's place, and they had been there for a long time. And when these boots came back, strangely enough, they came back with a sack full of stones. I talked about those little children getting over the Jordan, what it had to do with, and sure enough, the first harvest, and here come these boots back, and they had stood in the water with them, having to do with that thing in Houston as to the pillar of fire by day, and whereas we saw the vision of the cloud, we say by day, the pillar of fire by night. As to the carnal side, as to the quotes on the other side of the cave of Calvary, then the revelation or the revealed light as to that mind of the Lord or the Spirit of Christ. So we've spoken of it concerning this down here in the past as to when we had the platform in Chief there under the tent, the white tent, the pyramid tent. One of the relatives of Brother Branham said it looked like that fulfillment of the vision where Brother Branham had said a white tent would come to Chief and that would be the end of it. And sure enough, believe it or not, it was the end of it because, you know, Brother Branham had gone. We saw his death. And then, of course, Sister Mitty went out. And today, because everything is down at an end, we had spoke of that as to the change, and especially leading up to the cave, the resurrection, and then everything going to pieces. And today, even the report we got today and the things in the past, that the family's just split all up every way. And the thing is just gone, you know, just separated every which way. But anyway, to bring in the new or to allow for the other. So then there is now down here what they call the Father's house, this platform whom somebody took and where they built the floor there, as to say that the harvest downstairs is the time of the stores and how it went out, and that is to the basement, as to the resurrectional thing from the grave. And then all of a sudden, the teachings of the children as to those getting over the Jordan, and they have been taught the spiritual food, or that is the manna from heaven is spiritually being given to the children of God here. But anyway, seeing that this all leads up to a present day truth. That is, Paul in his day being an oversight to the people of God, or Paul being the revelator, or as it was called, he had the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and being the Gentile overseer, seeing that the mystery was made known unto him by the revelation of Christ. That Paul that brought out the knowledge as to an allegoric type of the Old Testament. Today the same Spirit is bringing out as to the Gentile people the allegoric type of those things of the Old Testament, of things that we went through today with our Sister Betty, and bringing those things all the way from the garden down to the Calvary. That is to say, as I told her, if I was going to preach on a sermon that Brother Branham never did preach on, but we wanted to preach on before he was deceased, I would preach on the trail of the serpent. And I would start that trail of the serpent. I would pick it up in the garden where the serpent beguiled Eve, as this little thing that we're about to read here. And where Eve was beguiled, and I would bring it all the way down from that as to a generation of vipers coming all the way down from the tree of knowledge, science falsely so called, the crooked path of the serpent. And how that Jesus came, was made that serpent in image as to that sinful generation, hang up upon a pole as it was in the days of Moses to typically show it, that everyone that looked at the body of Jesus as being delivered for their offenses would be free from the bite of the serpents, even as they did when they saw it in the Old Testament in the days of Moses, as seeing that when they looked upon the serpent, the brazen serpent, the impenetrable one, that had passed through the fire, then their sins were gone. And Jesus making an end of sin at Calvary as to the evening time offering of the sacrifice of the Lamb upon the altar, where the fire as to the wrath of God is never quenched, nor does it ever go out. The consummation as to the consuming fire. They had to keep that fire burning day and night. Seeing these things and realizing that in our day, that now the same thing is happening as to a mystery. As the Bible said, great is the mysteries of godliness, and I am a steward of the mystery. So great is the mystery of godliness, and I'm a steward of the mystery, Paul said. And being in this thing as to the revelation of Jesus Christ, then I'm able to look beyond the veil. And seeing that is to preach the trail of the serpent all the way down from the garden. And finally, as it was said, in the garden is to a fulfillment of that prophecy, and the seed of the woman shall bruise his head. He shall bruise her heel, striking at her soul, or the seed of her heel, and or his heel. So then we find that Mary, as it is said, a woman don't have a seed, but yet a woman shall compass a man. And then all of a sudden, she said, how shall this thing be, seeing that I've never known a man? And yet it was a divine conception of the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus was born, and she compassed a man in that Jesus was born, and born to take away the sins of the world and to save his people from sin. So then when the Christ came, he picked up the image of the bastard child in which you've been made and born. He took it to Calvary, and the seed of the woman as the Antichrist, that is born of spirit, is spirit, and it was conception of spirit. And it bruised the head of the intellectual scholar. That is to say, Jesus being made in the image of the intellectual scholar, or in the image of sin, or in the image of the generation as to the serpent. And so then the Christ on the inside, esteeming him smitten of God, that God on the inside picked up that body, put it through the sufferings, hung it up at Calvary, bruised his head with the crown of thorns, and pierced his side. Whereas God didn't do any of it, but we esteem him smitten of God because the preparation of man's heart is from God, and God had allowed all these things to come about, even God in Jesus, when he said, I've chosen 12, and one of you is a devil. Better that that man had never been born in the world, but yet he chose him so that he could crucify the body. And so he says it was with Brother Branham when we spoke of the death and Brother Branham's vision, and what it meant was his wreck as to the crucifying of Jesus when his head went through the windshield and Joseph escaped and these kind of things. But anyway, on the other side of the Jordan, as to the Jordan, there was, as to Egypt, and everything was fine, there was no pillar of fire. But when they crossed the Red Sea had to do with the blood, and from that time on there was a pillar of fire. That is to say, this cloud that was in the heavenlies indicated Jesus, as from Calvary. And there was the blood, and everybody that moved through the wilderness under the blood. As in this day, you're moving intellectually speaking, your spirit confined within the wilderness of your intellectual wilderness as to your wandering on the inside of this body, and the life being in the blood, you're under the covering of that blood which is on the seat of atonement. And that continued as over to Jordan, and then the crossing of the Jordan as to the conquering of the carnal mind, as to be carnally minded. Death, the day that thou eatest thereof, it ended it, because it had to do with the resurrection coming into Canaan, and having ended the third, as to the third stages of the activities of the children of God, coming into the new harvest where leaven was mixed with unleavened, because all during those days they could not mix leaven with the unleavened. They couldn't do that because, as in your pilgrimage right now, you have to walk the walk of sincerity, withdrawn from sin, and you cannot fellowship the body because there's leaven in the body, and the body is now dead because of sin. So you cannot mess with the things of the world. And it's on the other side of the Jordan as to the conquering, when all these things are added unto you. As we say, the millennium, when you come into that harvest, you will have the natural and the spiritual things all together. The natural having been sanctified by the spiritual, in that they emanated from the spiritual, having been run through the filter, then they've come to you. So we find out that at this point, as to the boots, as to the rocks that came, they came from Israel. At the same time, we received a letter from Nigeria as to the name Israel, and it was addressed to the president. And at the same time as reading the letter, the boots came in, the stones came in. The stones, therefore, indicating the crossing of the Jordan again, as to getting this little road paved, as we said that they would, and getting that well that's on the other side connected with this well, which we did by going under the road. And of course, that having to do with the body as to the Brother Branham side of it, because on that side lives numbers of Brother Branham followers that have been Brother Branham's followers. And even though they've literally been carried away with this message because they know that this is absolutely thus saith the Lord, they can't connect it with Brother Pike too good. They just try to reverence me and honor me and go right on as Brother Branham followed. But nevertheless, they do live on our grounds over there. And finally, as to the day, someone came to me and said, I don't know my heart. And said, if you see something about me, as to the carnal mind or whatever it was, tell me. At the same time, as to the heart, then came boots and then came stones, as to say, the body is now joined with the spirit, as to say, that Brother George Smith looking in this direction, and right now there's been a little problem between him and Billy Paul and Joseph, and so him and Becky's kind of out on their own, and as to them looking in this direction, Billy Paul looking in this direction, Joseph looking in this direction, the others looking in this direction, as we said they would at this time, and the things that have taken place, that is to get over the Jordan. For the first harvest is gone, and now the other harvest is at hand. And as to the time when Brother Branham went out, we had spoke to you about the tabernacle of him laying the cornerstone, of us having the picture of him laying the cornerstone, of having put something in a little container that was put in the cornerstone, and they couldn't mess with it until after his death. And when they went back to look, there was no can. It had deteriorated. There was no message. It had deteriorated. And we spoke of what it had to do with of Brother Branham and the cornerstone, as to the message and whatever of that time. And as to Brother Branham going back to the dust and the message of God, as the Spirit lifting, the Spirit goes back to God who gave it death, that the message had lifted from the body. And as the eagle kept being stolen and whatever, and even the door on his house in Arizona being stolen. And as to the thing we say, sown in weakness, raised in power, breaking the doors down in the strength of God, or as it is said that Brother Branham was buried and the people followed Brother Branham, which I think was reverent. I think it was great. I think it was wonderful. And they didn't know how to follow the message other than the quotes and the word that they'd been taught. And having to do with the Jews, that's what they did. And they published it around the world as to the spoken word. And Brother Branham, having seen beyond the veil, realized that there was a third pool, as he called it. And there the ladies had on the long dresses, for it was heaven. And he was set upon a throne, magnified, and they came to him. Even his wife Hope was in that realm and in that world. So at this time there has to be something that will pick up the Jews, as to naturally speaking, because the Jews have exhausted all of their sources and are now at the mercy of the world. And right at this particular time, the boycott's about to come. The man with the mark on his head is winning the world, stepping out in the midst of them and saying in America that he feels at home. Bush's administration is running right on into the tribulation period as to calendar-wise, which means, as I said the other night, the only man that's been in office 4 years, if he stays in office 4 years, has to get those last term. And if it should go that way, then when Bush stepped down, it would be the end of the protection of the Jews. And by that time, Mr. Gorbachev would automatically have control of the world because he's the number one man. And with Mr. Bush going out of the picture, it wouldn't be so with them, because there their president continues on, unless it would be a death or it would be some kind of phenomenal act. And over here, ours terminated about 4 years. So the stepping down would leave everything just right, in that by that time he would have complete control of the world. And as to the King of the North, and as to then, to the personification of the Antichrist, because if the man shall be caught up, then the dragon goes out, as to a cross up with communism and democracy. And then going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The tribulation period, the darkness, and about the same time that the man Jackson is considering looking to that thing for presidency, as gross darkness covering the people. Everything is perfectly in line to bring about the thing in that he is also seeking to do it through women, which is back to the weakness as to the beast, and back to the weakness of the natural side of thinking, the old tree of knowledge and human reason as to legislative powers. But at that time also, it will indicate as to, even in the typical sense, if not the actuality, it will indicate the death of the two prophets. Because as with this that's coming up now, we brought it to you about the common market. We brought it to you about the covenant. We brought it to you about breaking of the covenant in the middle of the week. The other things. And about that time, the two prophets would be killed. And that they would have at that time, middle of the week, ministered for about 3.5 years. The man-child being caught up as to Israel going up to the mountain, the 144,000, and Jesus meeting them there, standing on Mount Zion, and then Lucifer being cast out as to the war in heaven, Michael and the angels, which had to do with this visit of the brothers, and at this time, and then with the casting out, personifying himself as in a human being to take control of the computerized system, as to what we've already said, that the number 666 is already on the goods and it is now coming into focus as to be put in the hand, and the sales tax and these different things of not buying and selling unless you have the number. So everything is rolling up into one great big bundle right here at the end time, going toward the killing of the prophets, the catching up of the man-child, and the personification where he will kill the prophets in the middle of the week, and they will rejoice over it through television and everything throughout the world in the killing of the prophets, because these two men tormented them that dwell on the earth. And they'll lay in the streets for 3 days, as we said, and nobody will be allowed to bury them. And they'll gloat over this thing, and after 3 days, the spirit of life from God will enter into them. They'll stand on their feet and be caught up into heaven, which has great significance. We had time to elaborate on it tonight. But I said all that just to kind of bring it around to a present-day truth, as to just a little talk or exhortation with you about like Jesus would do if he was sitting in the boat, if he came to visit with you. So then, right about this time, they discover the cave after all these years. And the documentary, again, as to George C. Lacey and The Proven Thing, now it is again the same name that's bringing a documentary as to law. And as to the proof. And so it is said, go see the place where he lay, for he is risen. And then, of course, the people went, as they've done going to Jerusalem for many years now. And as Brother Smith said, they will, some of them, I believe he said, would maybe kill their mother to get out there. Or they'll go pick up bones and do all kinds of things once it is made known of the place where the man was. And that means that on this side, as we saw the vision of the cloud where there's no fire in it, it was a cloud but day, as to the Spirit, as to the Holy Ghost, as to the revelation of the Lord Jesus. As that before the tomb or before Calvary, before the cave, as we say, as to the quotes, as to a human being, and to the beastly side of it where the blood was offered day by day, as to the beast and the sacrificers, and that is taught in the old Pentecostal way that every revival means another self-sacrifice of yourself to be born all over again, which of course you know that's heresy. And as it was said when Paul come with the revelation that the blood of bulls and goats could never make the perfect, the come of thereunto perfect, neither can a Pentecostal repentance ever make you perfect. But when you come to the revelation of the understanding of the Lord, that is to say on the other side of Calvary, it is still a sacrifice, but it is once and for all, as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, as to who you are and having been perfected forever by the offering up of that body once and for all. Then it's not led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a continual sacrifice, as on the other side of Calvary is under the law, that is to say a blood thing. So then it was by night as to the intellectual darkness, as to ignorance, not coming into faith and understanding as to revelation, as to be perfect, as to those that dwell in heaven. See, so on this side of Calvary, it is the light, the unveiled, not looking through a glass, dark glass to Moses, as to the veil that was over Moses' face, as to the intellectual darkness, that is to say the veil that fell over the face there of Eve through that of death. See, but the veil rent in twain, death gone away, and it moved forever. And on the other side, as to Calvary, where the veil was, then it was blood, always blood. So they were under the pillar of cloud by night. That is to say, during the intellectual wandering of darkness, it is the application of the blood that's on the seat of atonement. But as to the other side, it's not that way at all, because you're not beast, and you're not being delivered day by day. And you are on the other side, is to say, this side, you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're no longer in the flesh as to the blood. You're no longer that as a living soul, but a quickening spirit. And you've been chosen out of the earth, and you've been chosen out of the body. And now you are they that dwell in heaven, even as a cloud without blood, even the spirit. God put a rainbow in your heart, even as your spirit has been released as the angel going back to God who gave it at death. And now you're equal to the angels, and you are, as a spiritual being, a light that's dwelling in heaven to rejoice forevermore, you that dwell in heaven. So then you find yourself here, and what do we preach? That ye are they that dwell in heaven. Having made that divine translation, getting over the carnal mind of death as to these boots, as to those stones, as to the cave, these kind of things. And what do we see? We see a cloud by day, even the great loving Holy Spirit as to the revelational mind of His life, rather than as to that side of death. So, it is now perfection, once and for all, and not a Pentecostal revival as to a regular sacrifice of yourself, daily coming as to offer yourself again and again, bringing to God's mind, the Bible said, sin continually. But as in Him, we realize Him, we enter into His rest, even the day the Lord has made, and then we don't go to Him continually as a sinner. We'll go to Him as that which has been made perfect, to never remind Him of sin again, because now, beloved, are we the sons of God, and we've passed from death unto life, and the veil of intellectual reasoning has been rent, and that death veil is moved forever, and now we're beholding face to face as them that dwell in heaven, and we've overcome, and we've sat down in the throne with our Heavenly Father. So, even at this present time, as to the things that are taking place, of many things that we could speak of, that the tree of knowledge was cut down as by John, all the way back to Calvary. The generation of vipers is gone. On this side, we have the second man, Adam, even the Lord Jesus, coming in that image to put it away once and for all as the first man, and then being resurrected in the power of God as to being sown in weakness, as to shame and sin, and doing the cross for the wonderful joys that was set before Him, and now having been resurrected, as for our justification now, it is the body without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And we're on this side now, and we are ever with the Lord in heaven. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We are now in the Spirit forever with the Lord, keeping ourselves. And the evil one toucheth us not, and all the wretched things fall around us, but they never come near our dwelling. For the Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven, for heaven is your dwelling. So then we find that on this side, we are free from the law of sin and death, as I say to you so many times. And on this side of Calvary, you now have all things that pertain unto life. The blessing of the Lord having made you rich to add no sorrow, having made an end of sin, now you are those that are with Christ. So that indicates that the days of the Gentiles is over, and more and more and more we could go on and on in the great secrets and mysteries of God. As to the revelation of the mystery being finished, the sounding of the last trumpet, going on and on, because right now we've come to a real crisis, a real time of understanding, a time at the ending of the days of the Gentiles and those that will go into the tribulation period. So as I say, the Jews are going to have the Gentiles to lift them up, just to give them a name, because they're in the feminine. And it is said in the last days that seven women will take hold of one man asking for the name, because they've disgraced themselves so as to leaving their virtue and womanhood. And so it is today, they're passed from one man to another like an old dog. But nevertheless, there are still those that represent the church. They're priced far beyond that of rubies, because they're still virtuous in their minds and in their hearts as to the bride of Christ, and not the old corrupt whoredom of that which is the bride of Satan. They have corrupted themselves with the flesh. So, the Jews will have to have a helping hand. And only the saints of God can come back and bring them that helping hand to lift them up, to give them life when they're suppressed and cast down. Which means at this time, as to the Brother Branham followers, we'll have to look in this direction. The harvest is gone. And they'll have to look in this direction, in that as to the time of the crucifixion of Brother Branham, as to the wreck from that time, turning to the Gentiles, as to say, leaving the Brother Branham follows as the Jews going into darkness, they having killed their head, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, now turning away from that. See, and it went as to the secret thing, as to the bride, and as Brother Branham said, passing right through them on the third pool and them not seeing it. Going right through them, and so then that episode is now coming to an end as to God having sealed in at least a few, and that is to the birth of the child in Bethlehem, are those that are here, and with that now having gone through that cycle and now turning back, as to turning back to give them a chance to come in, and that through the proven thing as to go see the place where he lay and where is he, freeth risen, and then searching after him to find him in heaven, that is to say, not in the intellectual Pentecostal indoctrination of repentance over and over, whereas the Bible said, going on to perfection, leaving the foundation of repentance, and not looking to that again, or that is to say, as it was even when Moses led them out of Egypt, but not listening to as to quotes, but going on to the spiritual understanding and the revelation of the doctrine of Christ, like the vision we said, as to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, and did not their words go into all the earth, but who hath believed our report. So then faith by the hearing, and that is to say the believing. So we find that in that, the cave has great significance at this time. The boots returning has great significance at this time. You that are spiritual will understand. He that are not spiritual will not understand. For the Bible says the wicked shall not understand. But the Bible says the righteous shall understand. And the Bible said, if this be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Whom Satan, the prince of this world, even the prince of darkness, as to that one of the tree of intellectual knowledge, as to darkness, science, falsely so called. He hath darkened their understanding, that is, he hath darkened their eyes, he hath blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they should not see when good cometh. And they do not have ears to hear as to what the Spirit is saying to the church, even though they hear what the preacher is saying. And all these things the Bible said is unto them, unless at any time they should hear, believe, converting, God should heal them or save them. So then we see that you that are the foreknowledge and foreordination of God will believe, and you will leave the world, and you will follow after righteousness in Christ. But ye that do not believe, or ye that were not before of old ordained unto godliness, was before of old ordained unto condemnation. Ungodly men, that's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, or that is to say that in doing the days of grace, you do your own thing through your self-will and your own gullible desire of going where you want to go, be what you want to be, say what you want to say, act the way you want to act, you know, until the days of grace is gone and God turns you into the fire. But they that love the Lord will take advantage of the grace to the extent that they'll conform, they'll repent, they'll do everything that's precious and right in His sight, to be exactly like Jesus, as the song says, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus in this world alone, to be like Him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger on earth alone, to be like Him. So then we see that something is taking place, something has taken place, something will take place, and you that are partakers of these things, you that dwell in heaven like John being caught up into heaven, he saw it, you'll be able to see it. Because it's the vision that I had, I was in heaven. I was seeing these things, that I was caught up, and I was seeing these things that took place in heaven. Like while I'm talking, from an individual come forth a mind to scrutinize me. Wants what I got so bad they can't hardly stand it. But a mean resentment that tries to take hold of them, because it is Satan knowing that I have received these things, and knowing that these things are right, and knowing that they are distant to them because they do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Knowing this is grievous at times, and the old thought is, I'd like for you to have a hole in the head, and I'd like to take what you got. But it won't ever work like that. Let's give the Lord. All right. Let's read chapter 11. Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. But I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, for we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things, have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that you might be exalted? Because I preached to you the gospel of God freely, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me. The brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So that is to say, Satan has taken the mind of Christ to the extent that while there's blood on the seat of atonement, he's become very religious, and he can quote the scripture to you even as he quoted it verbatim to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it is said, as to the ministers of Satan, they can transform them sales as to their minds. The Bible said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds. They can transform their minds as to preach this word, not getting into the revelation, but preaching this word. They can have all kind of meetings, congregate as to healings and what, all these kind of things, because the grace is here, the blood is on the seat of atonement. And in these meetings there will be miracles, and some of them will be true miracles. But as to deceiving you, these things can turn into lying signs and wonders to cause you to believe a lie and be damned. And it's happening everywhere with men that are whoremongers and everything else, and they're preaching this and they're publishing miracles and finding out they're whoremongers and practicing whoremonging. But anyway, as lying signs and wonders, that is to say, while it's the days of grace, they don't have to live right. As long as people come and believe God, some of them innocently, they get healed, and the people are not working the miracles. God's working the miracles, and that through the faith of those people that come. It's said in the days of Jesus, don't pay any attention to these men as to follow after their deeds, but you do what they tell you. For they said in the seed of Moses, and they've got the word of the law. So these men transformed their minds. That is, they transformed their minds from the rotten, corruption, evil doings that they just left as to slopping in the hog pen, and come right straight out and begin to talk about the word of the Lord, and the anointing comes down on the people that are believing. And the old hog or the old sow, while it's coming down, gets washed, whether it's the preacher or whoever it is. And they talk about the word of God, which is the word of light. But we know that that's not the right way. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourself are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. And Paul goes on to say, are the Hebrews, so am I. Are the Israelites, so am I. Are they the seed of Abraham, so am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times receive I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in peril by the heathen, in peril in the city, in peril in the wilderness, in peril in the sea, in peril among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Armatus, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I shall say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glory, and ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundant I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same step? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whispering, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Love the Lord. All right. So we say the third time, or Brother Branham said the third pull. So Christ said the third time, I come unto you. This time, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And then after that, that is it. So don't let the serpent beguile you. But he says, well, I don't know about the serpent. I don't listen to the serpent, but strangely enough, if you've not been born again, you live with the serpent every day, because you are that's on its belly, and your inner man is in bondage to it, and you listen to his intellectual mind of the love of the world and the corruption of the flesh all the time. And if you aren't born again, there's a continual warfare between you and the old serpent. and that Satan in this world, your body being subject to the human senses, is ever trying to defile your inner man, whereas you keep yourself by the righteousness of God through faith in Christ in you, the hope of glory, that the evil one toucheth you not. But he causes you much sorrow. He causes you to be cast down. He injures your faith, and he's always accusing you. But nevertheless, be careful lest he beguile you of the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Let's stand together and let's sing a little chorus, Brother Ted. A lot of things I'd like to say, a lot of things I'd like to talk to you about, but only these few little things that I mentioned tonight is to acquaint you with the present day truth, that there is something that's happening right now, that we're not just going to church and sitting through church and seeing these little things and having a little sermonette and back to church and back to church and patiently waiting until we die of old age and drop into the grave, or we can say at the end of the way we was a church goer. But rather than that, there's something that's taking place in heaven. We see these things and hope that you can see them, or we can point them out to you, and hoping that you have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that you are part of this great wonderfulness of God, and that inasmuch as you are the church, that you're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this life of Christ is the mind of Christ, is being revealed within you as to be made manifest in your mortal genes, or as to the chains to that great body of power. That is to say, Samson regaining his strength and breaking down the walls and barriers of the grave or the cave or that which is a confinement of that, to say the stone, the mind, the heart of stone rolled away, the old mind of Lucifer. And now the true light shines and you're free as the butterfly from the cocoon of the old worm, and on this side of Calvary to rejoice forevermore. So let's sing this little chorus. So we'll enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We will enter God's courts with praise. We will say, this is the day Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Can you sing with me? Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Just thinking of Brother Michael being up yonder over in Jeff about this time, and Brother James Isaac knowing nothing about it, him going right up there too. Brother Michael didn't know he was there. Brother Isaac didn't know him was there. Makes the revelation even so much the greater. Nothing pre-planned, and as he was up there, I understand that Brother Isaac bought a picture of Brother Branham on the white horse. I think it cost about $20, was it? But anyway, he bought a picture of him, and him coming back at this particular time, coming back from up there, the war in heaven, Michael and his angels fought, and Satan prevailed not. And as to the promised son, Brother Isaac, there at the same time, as to the return on the white horse, as from here, he had a picture, as to the cave, as to the resurrection, as to the return, as to the end of the days of the Gentiles, as to bodily viewing once again that which was hid within the cave, or the grave, or the tomb of Arimathea, which was, of course was a cave, the stone rolled away. And the faith coming into view, or that is to say, I thought it was real phenomenal that he should go up there, and then all of a sudden he comes back, and thought it was real phenomenal in that the breach had become between Brother Smith and between Billy Paul and the different ones, as to fold up and lay away, as to bring forth a documentary. and that of Anu, as to the vision where he was planted, as to being rooted in the wrong grounds, and apparently the vision should have been in these grounds, and of course is now looking in this direction, as to whom I say you know. So what I'm saying is that overthrowing the serpent, as to the trail of the serpent, as to the serpent's seed, as to the smiting of the head, as to the ending, as to the wreck, as to the windshield, and as to the preaching, as to having taken God's program, as to one man Adam, even as Brother Branham, that going to be delivered for offenses, as to say, turning that message into lust, into evil, into debauchery, and the thing being a trashy thing all the way from the garden down to Calvary. Then killing it out, even as the man that hated that kind of corruption, that preached against the Jezebel things, that is to say, the Christ on the inside. And that Christ, as it was Jesus, appeared in a new form. And today, that is to say, the war in heaven and Lucifer, the old dragon, as I say, the message as to the perversion, as to the seed of the serpent cast out. And a new thing, even as in heaven, no more place was found for him. And his angels were cast out with him, that is to say, and those that were given himself to the perversion of that thing and used it for the lust of the flesh. But on the other side, there was the Christ that was in that body, the same Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that little message, it was gone and the container dissolved. And that same Christ is in the world today. Same Christ is in the world today, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that same Christ, for how many years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, has moved on. Others have heard this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. People have repented of their sins. And they've come to the Lord, and now we're coming down to the end of the way, and the saints are to be rewarded according to their thinking in their heart, as they think. So they are, as to what they've listened to, as to what they've incorporated within them as a child in their schooling. Transitional changes from grade to grade, and then at the end of diplomacy, and that to be about their father's business. So then as to what they've taken in, as to one measure or another measure, 34, 60, 400, 4, having gone after the world, and used this for a sideline. But to say the least, at the end of the days of the Gentile, the man with the mark on his head, calling for peace when the Bible says there's no peace to the wicked, sudden destruction when they call for peace, boycotting in an army is to say who can make war against them. Two most powerful countries in the nation. As to the casting out of the dragon, right at this time when the man Bush is in office, as to the old legend, and as to the serpent, as to the old red dragon, as to communism laying right in there to devour the child, cunningly, craftily, winning the favor of the people through going through all these great leaders to pull everybody back to himself and to back to his way of life, and great economy as to his country. Very cunning, very crafty. And the Bible said coming in peaceably with flattery. And all these things in the time of the cave and these things as to the documentary as to overthrowing the corrupt side of the seed of the serpent. And that is of the cave where it was seen in the man sowed good seed and the man come behind him and sowed the seed of the serpent. And the seed being of the devil, the old carnal mind of intellectual lust. But here we are, and we that dwell in heaven where Lucifer is not anymore, and the symbols as to the war, and so it happened, and thus it was. And they all went out to supper, even as it was with the man that is the son-in-law of Brother Branham, that married the daughter that is typical of the bride, that took the house of Brother Branham, that took the office of Brother Branham in the tabernacle, and bears to the bride and them going out to the supper, for there is a supper that is to come, and them leaning in this direction. Let's sing an old chorus together, can we? The same Holy Ghost that gave the men of old their word of prophecy, that same Holy Ghost was with them, that's in you today, revealing to you all things, and that you have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things, and bringing to you those things, the Bible said, and the Holy Ghost showing you things that are to come. As to John the Revelation, things that was, things are, and things that shall be hereafter. So you have that same wonderful prophetical utterance. Now then are you the sons of God, much greater than prophets. And you're on this side. The law and the prophets were until John, as to Brother Branham, symbolizing the folding up and laying away of the law and the prophets, as to the quote and as to his ministry. Can we sing a song together? Then is it the end of the ministry of Brother Branham, or is it the end of the law and the prophets since Jesus come? The Bible said the woman was standing upon that as to the moon. She had the stars upon her head, even as America, as to, we said, the 12 stars, the 13 stars. As to Jesus among the seed of Jacob, Jacob and the 12. So then, is it then that there's nothing to that? That's not what it is at all. This fulfills the quotes, which is holiness. Paul said, you have the law, none of you keep it. Which said, I'm spiritual. I'm born of Christ. Nor am I a Jew. Yet he is a Jew outward, is not a Jew. He said, as to the law, I'm blameless. For it's not me living, but Christ. So then on this side, as to you being blameless, no one can lay anything to your charge. You're coming into the understanding to fulfill the righteousness of God and of the law. Well, that is to fulfill what Brother Brown was teaching. And when the thing is fulfilled, thus it is that you don't have to preach it anymore. So now we're coming down to the days of the fulfillment of the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the ministry shall end around the world. We said that this has come to pass at a certain time, is the beginning with a certain date, for all the light shall go out. As to Mr. Baker, as to Mr. Swaggart, as to Mr. Roberts, as to many others, Brother Branham going off the scene, Brother Jack going off the scene, all the others, as we spoke of, Mr. Armstrong going off the scene, as it was his son, going off the scene, and many, many others. Ministers falling everywhere. The Bible said, so let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For at that time, as to the church light going out, when we said no more moonlight, and between it and the day stars of the sunlight, there's one lone solitary star, and that's called his star, even the morning star. We sing the song, the bright and morning star. Let's sing that little chorus, Brother Paul. Give me another key. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star, and he's fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. The altars are open while we sing this. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley. And he's your bright morning star, and he's the fairest dot in boughs. Everybody ought to tell. One more time. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Sing it with me now. For he
is darling of your valley, and he's the bright morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody up to know. Let's lift our hands together. Appreciate your patience. Let's sing the little chorus, "I Will Praise Him." And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory of his peace. Because the Lord's blood has washed away. Can you sing it with me now? And we, can't you just think now? Can't you just love him now? To think that you're recipients of that great, wonderful mind of God, that it has moved on through the years, and though a great, wonderful, mighty God leader departed and left the scene, yet God has not left us without a witness. And it has been bridged over, and it shows itself very clearly in the bridging over. Even as I said the other day here in Monroe, the city of seven governors is to this place the allegoric meaning. And wanting us to give to them land to bridge this thing over from the other side. Even down here where the school bus can come across, as to say the children getting over Jordan. And of course we signed and gave it to them. And I, of course in sealing it, it had to be sealed with a seal as to the one that the brother drawed for us with the seven angels, as to the seven city, or seven governors of the city, as to the angelic fulfillment of the church ages, and you're right in the midst of it, fully clothed as with the vision, as to the women with the long dresses, as the message coming, as the revelation, as to the finishing of the mysteries, as you being the ones. He that is naturally, as to the quotes, they being a Jew, not a Jew, but he that is inwardly, as to having not, as to was hearing of the spirit of Brother Branham, which was Christ on the inside, the revelation. And we will praise him. We would ask Brother Gary Armstrong if he'll come up and dismiss us. The Lamb for sinners slain. Can you sing with me now? Lift your hands and hearts up to God. Sing with me, close your eyes, meditate, examine yourself, see if you've been the faith. Examine your hearts now. For his blood has washed away. One more time together. Lift your hearts up to heaven now. Ye that dwell in heaven, rejoice. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And will give him glory all ye people. For his blood has washed away every stain. Can you close your eyes with me? Lift your hands up to heaven. Examine yourselves now. See if you've been the faith. See if you have the spirit of revelation. For Paul said, pray. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. For that's the Gentile bride. The man of revelation came, and the revelation came in the beginning. because it was to the bride. And it stands to reason that at the end of the day, that same revelation or spirit of revelation should come around to pick up the bride, or come around at this time to pick up that was planted at the beginning of the church ages as to the harvest. So then what are you? Are we then as to the shuck, or are we then as to the grain? Are we then as to the followers of that, as to natural teachings of the gospel all down through the years, or are we the results of the grain that has grown within that planting, in that we are now, as the shuck is revealed and the veil is rent in twain, as the shuck is open, now the beautiful grain that is matured and is ready to the harvest, in that he said in the last days he would send forth his angels and gather the harvest. Are you ready, that is, for the angels to come? The last days as to Calvary, the end of the world, and the church age messengers started. But are you as to the ultimatum, as to the reaping of the grain? While you've got your heads bowed, your hearts in the Lord, your hands lifted up, let's just worship the Lord. Can you do that? Can you do that?